What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, February 2nd, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside... it's Hispanic heartthrob. You know, I think Latino Heat, and I know I'm missing. Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino Heat. Clicking heads, ripping them to shreds. The globe trotting, head shotting, rooting, tooting, 3-point shooting, nitro rifle. Wow. From twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Didn't miss a step, Greg.
I feel like I haven't done it on the podcast in a long time.
Yeah.
We've been doing a lot of great rolling intros to Kinda Funny Podcast where it doesn't make sense to do the big one.
Yeah.
Hispanic heartthrob, I've just lost because, again, you've taken Latino Heat. Rest in peace, Eddie. You know what I mean?
No, we passed on the mantle. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we put on the back burner for sure, but I think you totally nailed it.
We've just been doing such quality content, whether it's Pudding Holes or whatever the hell else we just talked about.
Talking about Kung Fu Panda, yeah.
Kung Fu, well, not that. No one is working Kung Fu Panda, you know, in review.
It's a good show, though.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, these movies are pretty good, actually.
Kung Fu Panda movies are good?
Well, like, I'll tell you, Greg, I hadn't watched part one in about over a decade.
Yeah.
Rewatched it a couple weeks ago, and I was like, oh, dang, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's see part two. Part two going to be directed DVD, right?
Sure, trash. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dang. The movie's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's not making me laugh all the time, and I don't think it's like the best comedy, but the moments hit. Story about a father and a son.
Sure.
They're not the same animal.
No. So does that make sense?
The dad's like a crane. It's
they
weird.
Adopted? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it's very, very
I don't think I've ever watched any of them.
Beautiful.
All the way through. I've seen moments for sure. I want to say I did a cheap platinum in one of them. So I have like a top level. Let's go to my PSN profile.
Okay.
I want to say I have a top level information about Kung Fu Panda of Poe.
Yeah.
But then I also know that my friend Poe likes anything his name is. Yeah, Kung Fu Panda 2, I platinumed in June 2011. So again, I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I know a few things about it.
You've gotten...
Like Poe and the tiger thing.
You've gotten the abridged version.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
That's pretty good. That's impressive.
Yeah.
I was telling Tim, I was like, man, I just want a fighting game now that's like Kung Fu Panda. And then he brought up a video of Sifu being modded, Kung Fu Panda posing there, just beating up a bunch of dudes.
Sure. Jack cool Black stuff. Is Poe. I bet you didn't know that.
No.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, though, this is a real thing. Skadoosh. I didn't know that. I didn't know
you
that.
Lost me. He says Skadoosh. Yeah, I know that.
But I didn't know that was like a thing.
Skadoosh.
In the same way that... Owen Wilson, wow, where he says ka-chow as Lightning McQueen, where you see a lot of little pajama pants for young little children that says ka-chow on it and shirts of Lightning McQueen ka-chow.
Looking at Benny a lot, yeah.
I didn't know skadoosh was a thing. I thought that, like, yeah, Jack Black does that every once in a while, but I was unaware of the skadoosh era.
The origin of it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. And Tim on the review was like, I was expecting a lot more skadoosh.
Yeah.
We only got one skadoosh.
In one?
At the end of each episode.
Oh, really?
Movie, yeah.
Oh, I thought it would have gone and they would have run into the ground and the rest of it.
No, it's just
use it smartly.
How many of these are there?
The fourth one's coming out this year.
Oh, hence the interview.
Yeah, but it's very similar to, you know, I am Iron Man, you know, with the snap.
Sure.
It's like his final thing is like skadoosh. And that's like the thing. It's like, wow, this is where it started.
You think they bring it back and forth?
We'll see. Yeah, I hope so. Waiting for bated breath.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been waiting with bated breath for my final Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League review. It's in. You've been waited with bated breath for me and Andy to preview Helldivers 2. That's today. And so much more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news need know about. If you want to watch it, you should be watching it live with us on YouTube, Twitch, and podcast services around the globe. If you really love what we do, please support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show called Gregway. For a chance to be part of this show live as we do it, submit your thoughts and chats as a YouTube super chat, because we can see them pop up right here and it gets on the show and it's great. Housekeeping for you, KFAF is coming back on February 9th for part two of our anniversary stream. If you submitted a Photoshop challenge or want to submit a Photoshop challenge, please tweet them at KindaFunnyVids with the hashtag KFAF. This challenge's theme is the future. What do you think the future has in store for Kinda Funny? Do you think Nick will somehow get younger? Will Mike get laser vision like Cyclops from X-Men? Will Andy start wearing overalls and be our friend for once? Who wrote this?
I think Nick did, yeah.
Tweet your Photoshops at Kinda Funny Vids with the hashtag KFAF to join in on the fun! Next up, Two new drops are on the Kinda Funny merch store. The Kinda Funny broadcast and cozy collection are available for the next 2 weeks at kindafunny.com/store. You took that photo today?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Uploaded it quick.
Oh, yeah, you uploaded it today. Sure. I've seen that one before. Like I said, right now, kindafunny.com/store, two new merch drops. The cozy collection has those sweatshirts and sweatpants you saw us wearing not so long ago on the Kind of Funny podcast. And then, yes, our Kind of Funny broadcasting mug. Of course, these are the alternates. Last month, you could go to Patreon and get the exclusive Kind of Funny tote bag. Now there's one up there. And that broadcast shirt is hot.
Yeah, very, very
cool. I need
cool
that
stuff.
One bad. We've teamed up with the Indie Exchange for the Ultimate Spring Game Showcase. The game submission deadline for the Mix/KF Spring Showcase is today. Head to kindoffunny.com/springshowcase to get your game submitted and then get hype for a Spring Game Showcase GDC week. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Streakin' Ain't Easy, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by the Kinda Funny membership, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen!
Number one on the Roper Report, it's time to give you a final score for Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League.
Whoa.
Can you believe it? It's a big day for you to be here, Andy.
Holy cow.
Andy, of course, you, me, Mike, Nick kind of in name only, ventured into the streets of Metropolis on Tuesday. Early access began. We popped in with review codes provided by WB. We started playing, and since then, we've been giving updates. Of course, we played all Tuesday.
So giving up.
Just gave up. Played all Tuesday to then do the games cast and kick off our review so far. Then, of course, I played more that night, came in, gave more impressions on the Wednesday Games Daily. I then, of course, played even more rolling credits Wednesday evening. And now here we are to finally talk about it. How much I've played a lot of Suicide Squad, as I just said. How much more have you played since then?
I got caught up and passed a little bit where we left off on that one stream, because you had a meeting during that stream, and then you eventually came back and played more with Mike. I had where Tim was like, hey, take a lunch somewhere because we have games cast right after, or whatever.
Hey,
forgot what show we were doing. But when I logged back on that night, none of the progress saved, because I guess where I left off with you, or maybe there were some missions I didn't do on my end. So that kind of stunk. I had to redo a lot of what we had already done on stream.
Okay.
And
are you sure?
Yeah.
Because can I walk you through what happened when I got home that night?
Sure.
I got home, hit continue, jumped in, started running towards my mission objective, had a fraction, 2 seconds maybe, of a lower right corner pop-up message. You're picking up from a sale, and it went away. And I was like, wait, what the fuck?
Bring that back up.
Yeah. So what did I do? I'm playing on the greatest system in the world, PlayStation 5. Hit the capture button, said, save the last 15 minutes to be safe. Then jumped in, scrubbed the footage, got there, paused. You're playing from a save that's earlier because you're playing with somebody else. If you want to pick up from where you left off, go back and go to the chapter select. I have no idea. It must be that like that's where I passed the leadership mantle to somebody else. But it gave me credit, but it didn't start me where I left off. I had to go back to the main menu, go to chapter select, scroll down, pick the thing, and go.
Unfortunately for me, it was that way. I went to chapter select, and on the top right, and it drops me, and I'm in the middle of Metropolis, and the top right says, steal stuff. Mission objective.
That was early.
And I'm like, steal stuff? What am I? All right. I'm talking to Chad. I'm kind of like running around. You know, here are my thoughts, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what am I stealing? And this had about 7-10 minutes go by. What the hell am I stealing? And some people in chat go, ooh, you're supposed to be stealing from the Hall of
Justice.
Did you
have like your XP? Had you like leveled up?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, for sure. You're supposed to be in the Hall of Justice right now. You're supposed to be stealing the things from the Justice League.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to be outside. Like, you're supposed to be inside of the Hall of Justice. So I went back to a prior mission. Then I went back to steal stuff mission, whatever that was. Put me in the Hall of Justice.
Got
it. Started from there. Went a decent amount past where I had left off prior.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it a lot more playing it solo, because it just plays better and it feels better. And
sure.
I can absorb the story more, for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you haven't come back to it since then?
No, because we have a
Redacted. We're working on several reviews at once or whatever, but I think it speaks to the fact that it didn't grab you enough to make you, this must-play gaming for you.
Not must-play, but certainly improved from where I was. Now, is it like, hey, go out and get this for $70? I still say, you know, unless you really, really care about this world, wait a little bit. Well, Steam sale or a freaking, you know, Black Friday.
So
that's a long time
from now. On the games, you know, maybe you can get it as like a Hanukkah Christmas. You know, it'll be out there in the holidays. You know, removed now. It's Friday as we record this. So Tuesday's last time I sounded off. On Tuesday, I did say, you know, at the end, I started like, ah, is it a 3? Is it a 2? And at the end, I was like, the way we're talking about this game, it's a 2, right? Like, and of course, Kind of Funny operates on a review scale of 5, which is meant to be very wide, to have great discussions and do a bunch of different stuff. Of course, 1 is terrible, 2 is bad, 3 is okay, 4 is great, 5 is amazing. And I like exploring the scale a bit, as we've talked about before, right? I said by the end of the review, when we had talked it to death on Gamescast, granted, off of the first 4.5 hours, 4 hours, I was like, this is a 2 out of 5. Now, days removed, on the other side of the credits, seeing what the end game is, all these different things, I stand by that this is a 2 out of 5. I think this is a bad video game. And I don't mean it's bad in terms of broken, falling through the world, yada, yada, yada. I think there is a lot. I can find the things to like in this game. When they drop Joker, there's a chance I might turn it on and run it or whatever. But I think there's a lot of fundamentals that are broken in this game.
There's a chance you might be a part of this society. You might join this society.
This justice society. Yeah. I think there's a lot of fundamental problems with this game that for me to get to a 2 out of 5 means that I just wouldn't recommend it to anybody. Like, you know, I mean, even a DC fan like me, like, I think there's a lot to love in the story that you're on, in the journey that you're on, in the cutscenes and the voice acting, and geez, the quality of these cutscenes, right? Yeah. We talk about it like, and I have the privilege, I've been approved to say that I got to, this is a big privilege for me.
Oh.
Simon Cardi from IGN has said that I'm allowed to say that I read his review already that isn't posted yet.
Oh.
And that it's one of the best things I ever wrote. He ever wrote. That's what he said I could say about it. I did enjoy it, but he called out that, like, Rocksteady's not holding back. Like, they're coming in and you can see eyes movement. Like, they're doing tight close-ups. They're doing all, like,
beautiful.
Beautiful. Gorgeous. And even to your point of playing solo, and I saw, you know, Barrett asked you about this. So, like, but why would solo be more fun? What does that mean, kind of thing? It is a way more fluid experience playing by yourself, and the graphic fidelity and jumping up, and I'm dead shot and I'm, you know, dropping all the, I'm shooting all these explosions.
Yeah.
And like, there's moments where you're like, yeah, this is visually appealing, right? I also think there's the majority of the moments where I'm like, man, this is visual noise. You know what I mean? Like, it's just noise right now. I don't even know what the fuck's going on. Anyways, though, there's a lot to like. As a DC fan, I was really, really enjoying the story. I don't love where they leave it. And I think they leave it in a spot that they leave it because, of course, they are a games of service. They are an ongoing thing. Like, even though you roll credits in this game, you have not rolled credits on what Suicide Squad's story is, which is the back to where maybe when the Joker drops, maybe I'll jump in. Maybe I'll just walk cutscenes. What's actually going to happen? Da, da, da. 2 out of 5 for me, right? Like, I feel like we've talked about all this, but I know so many people are coming here for the first time. It is the fact that I just don't feel the moment-to-moment gameplay is fun. This is something that, of course, mileage will vary on. But having 4 characters that are not my favorite, but put that aside, but 4 characters who are uniquely different. One of them is a shark. One of them throws boomerangs. One of them is a master assassin. One of them is criminally insane, right? To have those characters and to have that shine in the story, to boil it down to, cool, do you want an assault rifle or do you want a Gatling gun or do you want a sniper? Like, why isn't it that boomerang isn't just throwing boomerangs and doing cool shit with that? Yes, he traverses via them, I know. But I'm talking about, like, why is this all so samey? And again, that's Suicide Squad's biggest problem, I feel, is that everything outside of the cutscenes and the story is so milquetoast, is so samey, is so whatever. One of the things we've talked to death is the rooftop battles, battling purple guys on the rooftop. Oh, now there's some red guys, whatever. That continues the entire way through. I can shoot this guy. Oh, this guy, I have to do a shoulder button combination first to then get him. Oh, this guy, okay, blah, blah, I need my shields. I'm going to shoot him in the legs to get my shield. No.
Breakdance, shoot him.
The biggest thing I haven't touched on that I think is new information to really bring to the table on the other side of this is how disappointing and underwhelming I think the boss battles are. The fact that you are, this is not a spoiler for the game, you are on a mission to kill the Justice League. So inevitably, you're going to fight these versions that have been brainwashed by Brainiac, right? The fact that every one of these battles comes down to either, hey, we have a circular arena or a half circle arena with somebody to fight where that's either going really quickly or getting really big. This is like, and I'm just, what are you doing? Pumping fucking bullets into them. Oh, hold on. They're in the counter state, so I got to do my shoulder button combination, right? To hit them with the counter shot to now pump fucking bullets into them. Like, that's how we're going to fight the Justice League? Like, that's what we're going to do? And, like, I don't want to tread into spoilers. I think I might do a Greg Way spoiler cast, and that'd be the thing out there. But, like, I'm not somebody who is, oh, man, the sanctity of the Arkham universe. I've seen a lot of that. There's been a lot of people in my comments of being like, well, they're talking about multiverse, so maybe this isn't the Arkham universe. And da-da-da. It's like, no, it is. They've said that. Mm-hmm. Like, clearly, this is all based in the Arkham universe. Some of the things they do where they reference things they've done before and come in and do it are so disappointing and so, oh, man, yeah, that was awesome in Arkham. Why isn't it here? Why aren't you doing something like that? You know, I talked about it on Games Daily with Blessing, but again, to bring it to a more conclusive thing, right? Like, the fact that when you think about playing Arkham, you're thinking about being stealthy. You're thinking about using gadgets. You're thinking about that awesome combat system of I'm going to, you know, get a 106 hit combo and not get hit and yada, yada. And to have that be boiled down to here of like, I'm shooting you. Oh, now I need to shoot you in the leg. Now I need to shoot you in the head. Okay, let's run some missions. Let's go do the missions. Cool. It's very clear. And again, this is a live service game. So it will be fascinating when they finally do get, let's say, 6 content drops in. And it's like maybe they're adding new mission types every time. And suddenly it isn't so crystal clear that they have X number of mission slots and modules to put in, which are, all right, cool, escort the truck. Oh, no, there's people on the roofs. Go attack them on the roof. Okay, cool. All right, now we're going to go do this one.
Grab the Pokeball.
People. Oh, no, there's people on the people you got to put in the Pokeball. Put them in, get them and bring them back to the thing. Okay. Oh, no, there's just people on the roof to shoot because Brainiac's got shit on the roof. Like, these are the things you do over and over and over and over again. And then when you get to Endgame, right, which I don't want to spoil, but you get to Endgame, and it is, first off, welcome to Endgame. The next thing's coming. It's not here yet, but it's coming. So now go around Metropolis and just get stronger. Oh, jeez. All right, cool. All right, cool. You got these missions. Guess what? Protect the car. Can you protect the car again? Can you go to the thing? You're going to go to a different, you're going to go to the multiverse and go to an Earth from the story we've met or whatever. Cool. All right, can you protect the car? Shoot the things on the thing. It's like, dude. Like, you know what I mean?
Purple.
Yeah, and it's just like, the other sad thing I come back to, right, is like the fact that, and I talked about this on Games Daily the other day, but when I went into the Daily Planet and it was a walk around mission to get to the next MacGuffin, right, to be in there and look around. And again, like, because this is what I said to Blessing, but for one final review, right, I called the game on Gamescast soulless. Coming back on Games Daily, I was like, I stand by that, but I want to make sure I'm being clear that that's the gameplay and that's the open world traversal. Inside of the cutscenes and the story, so much soul. Inside of these environments where it's like, that's Ron Troop's desk, that's Steve Lombardi's desk, so much soul, right? To get out of that, though, again, like, to go mission to mission where it is just like, cool, I am flying through the city and it's just nothing's happening. And occasionally I see dudes down there and I see stuff down there that they want, but why would I go do that?
Yeah.
I don't, like, the loot cycle doesn't work here. It's not raining loot. It's not raining different loot. When you go and, okay, cool, this is a little bit more damage, but I wasn't really feeling underpowered. Like, there was one part where, all right, Suicide Squad Task Force X, it's time to take on this thing. Okay, cool. And I went and clicked on the mission and you get again, game is very funny. You get I don't want to spoil characters, but Amanda Waller and someone else talking back and forth about like, okay, cool, like, this is the thing. We've run a simulation, you know, however many times, and you lose 98% of the time. Oh, you won twice, blah, blah, okay, cool. And I was like, is this dynamic? Are they trying to tell me I'm underleveled, or is it just the comedic thing? And I clicked on it, I went and ran the mission, and cost me a revive. Like, okay, cool. That's okay. Like, why? There are these games got shoved together in terms of, hey, we're trying to make a Suicide Squad game that's fun and will serve Arkham fans, and hey, we're trying to make a live service thing. and they just don't work.
Yep.
They need to be separated. This shouldn't have been what they did. And this is back to me calling it a bad game. I think there's fun to be had here. The people who, when I've put up my tweets or the videos or whatever, have come at me and been like, respectfully, oh man, I'm having a great, I don't know what you're playing. I'm having a great time with it. Awesome. When I talk and review and critique a game, I'm never trying to take away your fun. I'm never trying to yuck your yum. I'm just trying to tell you my perspective on it. And my argument here is that this is a bad video game because it does not know what it wants to be. It is multiple ideas competing at once that are totally, tonally not lined up. And it just makes an experience where, like, it's funny that, you know, when I got in today, Blessing slacked me. He's like, this is what I'm thinking about for the headline. And I was like, yeah, sure. And what's fascinating is that I rolled credits on Wednesday. I did a little bit of the end game or afterwards. I turned it off and started another review yesterday for an embargoed game. And I haven't thought about Suicide Squad. Like, I haven't thought about that game. And I was like, oh, right. Okay, yeah, let's jump back in and talk about why this just didn't line up. And it's so heartbreaking for Rocksteady. I'm not trying to, you know, insult any developer, obviously. And I know how many people poured their lives into this and yada, yada. But it's just like, and again, I hold that hope that it is when the Joker drops and when the next guy drops and the next thing. But even those are going to be cool. If I turn it on, I'm going to run the two story missions and then the boss and then walk away. Like, I'm not like jonesing for that. I can't wait for that.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's a game that is just in a different time period right now. It's like...
You can see that this one got started when games as a service were a thing.
Yeah.
But again, like...
This was 2015 or 2016, and you say... It sounds like a slam dunk. After the rise of Destiny 1 and kind of more developers and publishers and fans yearning for an experience like that, put one in the DC universe? What a great idea. And, you know, granted, most people would probably think you're going to be Flash and Superman and all that stuff, but, yeah, like, this is a multiplayer game where you are in the DC universe. That sounds like a win. And the tides have just shifted too much. And, yeah, you're right. When I'm going to the next mission, I want to, like, experience the next cutscene. When I'm playing Ghost of Tsushima, if I'm headed to the next mission point, sometimes I'd rather not fast travel because I want to see and fight stuff on the way over there because I enjoy the combat that much. But never once, because it messes up the pacing so badly when you're flying to the next spot and the game expects you to kind of stop along the way and do things, but when you're not, it makes the game feel even more inconsistent in its pacing because they show you a cutscene and you get the mission thing and, hey, Game Over Greggy was the MVP of this round. Cool. Awesome. It expects you to keep on kind of fighting along the way to the next mission, but then but when you're us,
scenes over
we
over
rush over there and then it's another cutscene and, well, it just feels really, really broken apart.
And again, well, Ronald asked, is there fast travel? There is. You can fast travel back to the Hall of Justice. Mm-hmm. You unlock that. It probably, like, for us, it would have been hour five because in my games casting, I was like, there's no fast travel. It sucks. But then it is. But again, it isn't that helpful. Hall of Justice, I would have really appreciated if they put in the center of Metropolis instead of way down to the right corner where I'm like, yeah, that's going to take me further away from the objective that's, you know, 1,600 kilometers or whatever that is and go.
But then Harry's pharmacy would have been in a different spot or all the nerdy stuff, you know.
Exactly. I would have actually been. Centennial Park should actually be, you know. But to your point, like, yeah, this is something I talked about comparing Division to this, right? Where this game is trying to serve a bunch of different audiences. Of course, for Division, you're just a human person, you know, you're an agent in this war, right? Or, you know, not even war, but, like, you know, taking over country. And Division always was cool. You leave your base of operations and you weave your way through the city, and yeah, you find patrols and you find loot caches and you find things, and it's like, wow, this is great. And for me doing it again, Division gives you so many resources and so much loot, and there is a, oh man, I need to make my gun better, or I want to find it, oh, this is a gold SMG and da 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 da. Like, you're getting so much that you're in that looter shooter thing.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, it is like, I'm fighting people on the street once or twice and I don't feel like I'm getting a reward for it. They're giving you, like, I forget what the actual number of currencies are in this game, but it's classic looter shooter problem of, like, there's way too many. And then it is the fact that the mission rewards we were getting, and again, no, I was going to give it chalk that maybe it's the early access because I know we got special guns through that or whatever.
Mm.
But even that, I don't think is what the reasoning was. You're getting guns at the end of the mission and they're not better. They're not, like, I'm getting one or two. You get two things every time at the end of a mission, right? Where it's like a gun or a shield or whatever.
Better booster pack.
And it's not, they're not even that better, right? Like, these are such incremental things. There's, oh, but there's ice damage eventually in this. It's like, none of that felt like I needed it. None of, like, in Division, again, there were people that, oh man, I need to have something special with me to fight this thing. you just never have that game here. The game is from those first 4 hours, even though it was the first 4 hours, the gameplay never evolves beyond that, where I'm like, oh, but this got introduced and that really changed and da 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 da. It's just like, you're just doing the same shit over and over again. And, you know, the clips made its way around, of course, and I said it and I stand by it, that I think, even though flawed as it is, I think Marvel's Avengers is a better game than this. And I would go into the fact that, like, I thought the moment-to-moment gameplay of Avengers was fun. It was fun to chain together stuff as Cap. It was fun to punch the shield back and do this, blah, blah. And it was also fun that Thor felt nothing like Cap. And Iron Man felt nothing like Thor. And you got into these things where it was like, man, I really can go and choose somebody I enjoy playing as. And again, back to the looter-shooter aspect of it, it was raining loot. It was, let's get off the beaten. Oh, man, the objective is over there. But I know that there's a shield cache over here we can open up and fight.
There's got to be a secret somewhere here. Yeah, yeah.
And, like, whether you love or hate that, that's fine. But it was encouraging me and rewarding me for getting off the beaten path, where Suicide Squad never does that. Suicide Squad, and to your point, like, the mission briefing, you're the number one player. How much does that drive me fucking crazy when I'm the only player? I played 4.5 hours with you guys, never played with anybody else. My PlayStation clock, when I turned it off, and this includes tinkering with the end game, was 12 hours. That means that for 8 fucking hours, every mission I did at the end was like, man, Deadshot did it again. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, skip, skip, skip. I don't care about this.
And, well, I think even the more awkward thing is that out of context, when you're playing single player,
yeah,
you got to imagine if you're only ever playing single player here, you have no idea why at the end of a mission, your character shows up and does a slow-mo pose. Because there's no text on the screen. When you're playing with friends, it'll say MVP, Nitro Rifle, MVP, Stoneback Mike. When you're solo, it's just that same shot with no text telling you, like, why he's posing in slow motion. Very awkward, yeah.
In the chat, Rayman says, how are the side missions? The side missions are the same as the other missions. Mike went and did, like, 1,000 of them, right? And it's just the same, protect the car, get to the roof, destroy the thing, you know, shoot all these jabronis to then open up the thing to shoot that thing. Like, and on top of that, they are not side missions in the way the Arkham ones were or Spider-Man 2 were. Hey, I'm doing this, and eventually it ends up with me meeting a villain or doing a thing. It's like, Penguin needs you to do these fucking things. All right, you did the fucking things for Penguin. Here's a gun, a different color. Here's this thing. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, and again, like, you're in the DC universe. Like, at the very end, I got a gun, and it was a Bizarro gun. And it had, like, Bizarro number one's tag on it. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, is it shoot backwards? Does it say it's fire and it's gonna shoot ice? Like, no, it's just a fucking gun. It's got perks on it, but, like, nothing that if you erase the Bizarro thing and showed it to me, I'd be like, is this fucking Bizarro reference?
14% critical chance at damage, whatever.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, man, this is a heartbreaker. Because again, it's Rocksteady. We've waited for so long. If you want to go from our side of commentating the industry, man, it's a game that's been gestating so long that got greenlit when games as a service seemed like the future. And here you are in a future that everybody's like, can we please just get single-player games? Can you tell me a story? We'd love that. Spider-Man getting all these awards all the time. And you think about this, like, you know, you can sit here and what if a million times. But, like, imagine if this was Batman, Kill the Justice League. And it was Rocksteady telling a story of Brainiac coming in, getting all of the Justice League, and Batman's the only one standing. And so we have to go after all. Look at Barrett, right? We have to go after the Justice League, right? Are you kidding me? That wouldn't fucking sell like crazy right now?
Even like, you know, the one that I've wanted ever since the Batman Beyond skin came to Arkham City is like, do like a next generation Batman.
Oh, sure.
And you got to fight the old Batman as well, which is like, they've done that kind of stuff in comics. And it's always, to me at least, cool as shit.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, this is a huge miss. And I think, again, like I said, it's a 2 out of 5. It's bad.
I can't believe I'm not going to play this game.
And dude, at some point when we were pitching something else on one of the shows, somebody's like, you're talking about Gotham Knights, right? I can't believe I never finished Gotham Knights. You know what I mean? I jumped in and it's, again, here's all this little loot you're getting in this stupid thing. And I didn't like any of the characterizations of the characters. And I walked away.
So, someone asked in the chat of like, but is Gotham Knights better? Or is this better? And like, I will never be able to say fully because I'm not going to play Suicide Squad. I might watch like every cutscene video on YouTube eventually. Just because anytime you guys talk about the gameplay or the overall design structure, I could not be less interested. And I already kind of went through that with Gotham Knights. But it does sound a bit more like Gotham Knights knew what it wanted to be. It just, what it wanted to be wasn't fully interesting all the time.
See, and I said on the last Gamescast, I think when we were just going, and again, 4 hours in, of like, I would rather play Gotham Knights than Suicide Squad. And on the other side of Suicide Squad, 1,000%, I'd rather play Gotham Knights. And again, I didn't finish Gotham Knights. I tapped out. I was like, I'm not vibing with this at all. But even when I was playing Suicide Squad, I was like, should I reinstall Gotham Knights? Like, no. I'd like to be a bat hero. I'd like to have that kind of experience again.
Play an Arkham game. Yeah, get nostalgic with an Arkham game. And, like, that's the – like, I'm the dude who will play through an entire Arkham game in one sitting for, like, an anniversary. And yeah. I'm just – I can't believe I'm not going to play this game.
I'll be interested to see, of course, you know, like, I mean, again, no spoilers. It's called Kill the Justice League, but no spoilers. I'll be interested to see by the end of whatever their content plan is, if they somehow revert the timeline or do whatever and get away from that and very comic booky. But again, that doesn't work, I feel, when you're talking about a games as a service and you're going on and yada, yada, yada. But we'll see. But we can keep looking forward to Wonder Woman.
Oh, sure.
Monolith Wonder Woman's coming, right? Not a games as a service.
Nemesis system.
Yeah, Nemesis system. And again, how much the winds have changed on all of this, where when the rumors started that it was a games as a service, the developers who haven't said shit about this game had to come out and be like, we are not a games as a service. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, we saw a LinkedIn post looking for some sort of online multiplayer technician or whatever. Yeah.
A heartbreaker, but that is what I think of Suicide Squad. Final, done, locked in on the Kind of Funny scale, a 2 out of 5. Ladies and gentlemen, if you like Kind of Funny and the Kind of Funny scale and the content we do here, I'd urge you to become a member with the Kind of Funny membership. Either on Patreon or YouTube, you can become a Kind of Funny member, and you can get all the shows ad-free. You can watch the podcast live as we record them. And of course, you can get my daily vlog, Gregway, where I do want to go into the spoilers of Suicide Squad. Maybe I'll get to that today before I get out of here. But I digress. You're not on. Or, well, you're not. We're not on Patreon or YouTube as a Kind of Funny member right now. So here's a word from our sponsor. Kinda Funny turns 9 years old today. We could have made it 9 days without your support. That's why 2024 is all about doubling down on our shows and making it simpler than ever for you to get the most out of our content. Our revamped Kinda Funny membership is your one-stop shop for all our amazing content, which now includes on a weekly basis, the Kinda Funny podcast, In Review, the Kinda Funny Gamescast, P.S. I Love You XOXO, the Kinda Funny Xcast, the brand new series Kinda Funny Game Showdown. Five episodes of Kinda Funny Games Daily, and 5 exclusive Gregway vlogs.
And 5 days of streaming fun with me and the gang here in our newly revamped streaming space. It's gonna be filled with a ton of laughter and a whole lot of shenanigans. We'll see you there.
That's more than 20 pieces of content a week from an 11-person independent team in San Francisco. That's a lot. And to get the most out of it, all we're asking for is $10. $10 gets you the Kinda Funny membership, and that entitles you to ad-free versions of the shows, the ability to watch the podcast live as we record them, and the exclusive access to my daily show, Gregway. You can get your Kinda Funny membership on patreon.com/kindafunny or youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Yes, we are expanding our Kinda Funny membership offering to YouTube, so people can take full advantage of the platform they prefer. If you want to go above and beyond the Kinda Funny membership to support us, we will still have higher Patreon tiers, albeit with some changed up perks. We just wanted to make the message as clear as possible that the $10 Kinda Funny membership is for the masses to get all the core content people love. Everything above that is very appreciated. The support means the world to us. You all are the best. But the $10 Kinda Funny membership available on both patreon.com/kindafunny and youtube.com/kindafunnygames is where we see the value of what we do. Kinda Funny is a dream come true, and we wouldn't have it without you. We hope if you've ever enjoyed the content, you can support us for at least a month as we prepare for our biggest year ever. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you. Number 2 on the Roper Report. We are less than one week away from Helldivers 2. Andy and I have played it, and the preview embargo is up. Now, before Andy and I take the stage, let's have some opening acts talk about it. We'll go to IGN, where Travis Northup writes,
jump some lever, but I think I got merch in the back.
By far the big... After, what were we saying? They'll be back for photos and autographs.
Some CDs back there, yeah.
By far, the biggest way Helldivers 2 switches things up from the original is by moving to the third-person perspective. And so far, I'm pleasantly surprised how well that transition works. I was initially skeptical about the change, given to how much the bird's eye view was part of the original's DNA, but it only took a matter of seconds for my concerns to disappear. Getting closer to the action feels great and allows for some really hilarious moments, like when I accidentally called in an airstrike that took out the rest of my team, or when I found myself surrounded by absolutely terrifying robots and used my jetpack to leap to safety. Plus, you get to see the hideous bug creatures and murder-loving automaton...
automatons?
Is that really? Okay. Yeah. Well, I said it that way, but then I'm like, oh, there aren't enough letters in it. But I guess that does make sense. Let me see. Automatons. That's how I would say it, but I got in my head about it.
Oh, okay.
Automatons. Closer than ever before, which is a nice bonus. Each faction had lots of variety, too, from the chainsaw-armed androids who slowly closed in for the kill to the heavily armored beetles who charged at me with reckless abandon. If there's anything that concerned me about my time with Helldivers 2, it's that after 3 hours, I felt like I'd played a whole lot of content available in the game, which makes use of procedural generation to drop players onto the surface of various planets to complete generic objectives like launching an ICBM or destroying a specific military target. With no story mode or alternate game modes, I'm curious how much there will be for players to do beyond grinding the same mission ad nauseum, especially with no clear content roadmap laid out as of yet. That said, with only 2 enemy factions at the moment, it seems likely the third one from the original Helldivers could be added to the mix at some point, which could easily keep the good times rolling. Meanwhile, Liam Croft over at Push Square says, with a new third-person camera to make the action feel more personal and intense, Sony seems to have struck gold with a multiplayer experience prioritizing entertainment over playtime. You don't need to give up playing everything else to accommodate Helldivers 2 with its fun-filled missions adaptable to your playstyle. The full launch is now less than a week away, so it's not long until the final version can be put through its paces. Based on what I've played, though, Arrowhead Studios is on to a PS5 winner you'll want to return to time and time again over the coming years just for some bug-blasting mayhem. It's great fun, and sometimes that's all you need. Andy Cortez.
Hey, Greg.
I make a lot of jokes about you. We have a fun thing going on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I fucking love this guy, because when we went to PlayStation to preview it, he brought his own controller, and I was like, this is a fucking pro gamer right here.
I brought in that scuff controller.
Get that scuff
PS5. Still paying it off. I got like 2 more years to pay it off. Yeah.
What did you think of Helldivers 2 from your preview?
I enjoyed my time.
Yeah.
I was not blown away.
Sure.
But I do think the thing I'm most interested in is this kind of being like a litmus test for what Sony is doing in the future with a lot of
stuff,
sort of games as a service type things. I did enjoy it. I thought, even on controller, as somebody who plays keyboard mouse and prefers shooters on keyboard mouse, I thought it controlled really well. It felt good. The gunplay felt great. There's some choices that I thought were kind of odd.
My mommy.
Just give me a normal dodge roll.
Okay.
The way the dodge works in this game, you essentially have a dive to where you dive into a prone position. And they mentioned when you're crouched or when you're prone, you shoot more accurately. But this world, I don't know if this world calls for that. This world is so chaotic. Yep. There's so much shit all around you happening, explosions everywhere. Monsters are always kind of coming at you. Like if a mob happens to walk by you while you're engaged with somebody else and they're going to get aggroed, I don't think that the crouch or being prone and being more accurate was the best call. I'd rather just have the Outriders dodge. Like, let me get out of the way of stuff. Because there's so many times I dodge or I dive, and then I'm like, oh, I'm on the ground now. I got to stand back up.
Yeah.
Or, I accidentally hit crouch or whatever. But I did really enjoy the difficulty and the challenge with calling in airstrikes and it's such an interesting decision. I don't remember the first one had a system like that.
For stratagems?
Yeah,
for stratagems. With the D-pad, they did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really enjoyed the difficulty and kind of skill when you are just having everything coming at you, being explosions all around you.
Yeah.
The stratagem system, I thought, felt really, really cool and engaging. And it was a lot more gameplay focused than just calling in the thing.
Sure.
You know, I did enjoy the skill there. And the more difficult or the more powerful the stratagem you're calling in, the longer the code you have to type in.
Yep.
I enjoyed it. I had fun with you. I thought it was... There were a lot of hilarious moments. There was a moment where we were suddenly, me and Greg were doing like the role play action sort of movie thing. And we're like, hey guys, what's going on? Time to wreck shop. And then at one point I had died and I came, and as I'm flying back in, You know what? My game had crashed.
Right.
And they got me in super fast. That was awesome. I was able to hop back into the game super seamlessly. And as I'm dropping back in with my drop pod, I was like, hey guys, I hope you left enough for me. And as soon as I land, boom, a bunch of explosions happened right as I was landing, killed me, wiped me out again. It was a great time. The difficulty scaled really well and convincingly. It didn't feel like, what level am I on right now? I felt the difficulty. I felt the intensity.
For sure.
I had a great time. The customization of your dude was really cool. Getting different helmets and decorating your person the way you want them to look out there in the battlefield. I had a great time with it, Greg. How about you?
Yeah, I did. You know, I'm a huge fan of Helldivers 1. Obviously, that was one of the first ones where it was like, I remember getting on the plane and turning it on my Vita and being like, I have my progress from the PlayStation console at home. This is amazing. I've been looking forward to this, and if you're a Helldivers fan, this is very much Helldivers 2. This is that experience brought over here. It is still everything you brought up, everything we just read in the previews, right? If you're new to Helldivers, I would say the idea is that it's comically complicated, where you could look at it and it's like, oh, it looks like Earth Defense Force. It's like, yeah, but like the bugs have the advantage here. And it is the thing of, you use the stratagem, like you said, they're complicated, right? You hold down a shoulder button, you have to put in a D-pad code, like you're like getting infinite lives or something.
Yeah.
That calls in the Gatling gun drops. And if the Gatling gun turns and you're in the way, it's going to shoot you and kill you.
Yeah.
it could drop and kill your guy. It could be there. When the drop ship lands to save you, if you're not out of the way, it will crush you and kill you, right?
Like, yeah.
And you only have a certain number of revives. And again, you'd have to have a friend revive you by holding on a stratagem, put in the code, right? Like, at the end, if you've gone too long, the mission command will like leave the airspace. So then you're just like fucking, they'll still send a dropship, but you're stranded. You can't get any more stratagems and yada, yada, yada. There's like infinite chaos going on.
Yeah.
And that is part of the charm of it. The deaths are part of the charm of it. Before you set off, you see how hard a mission is. There's that whole idea of it. And I think one of the things about it that's interesting is you get to a part where it's like, this is talking as a Helldiver 1 fan, not even as somebody who's played some of the here and knows it, I assume this is the same. You get to difficulties where you need people. And again, what always I think works for it and against it sometimes is how complicated that is. Of like, I think like hard Helldivers missions need to be like, you need to be doing the flank ref, flank right. I'm coming in with this. Are you bringing that gun? Da, 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 da. Which is fun for an audience. I don't know if that's gonna be fun for the wide swath of PlayStation 5 audience
people.
It's a $40 game.
That's awesome.
Yep. I think it's crossplay and cross play right away. PC, PS5, so it'll be there. You can keyboard mouse on day of, right? Like, I'm incredibly looking forward to it. We're, for the record, right now, this drops on Thursday next week. We are doing the exact same thing we did for Suicide Squad, where I'll be off content all day except for stream. So I'm going to come to work, play Helldivers until I go on the stream in the afternoon, stream with Mike the rest of the way, and then we're going to do a PS I Love You XOXO review at the very end of the day to talk about what we thought with our first day of it and stuff like that. That was one of my things with it, where as much as I loved playing it and whatever, I really was like, damn, I wish I had this at home. I wish I was able to start from zero.
Right.
You know, they started us like level 10. We were already level 10s. And it's like, that's a lot to get your head wrapped around and get tossed back in. We were playing with one of the devs and another journalist. And the dev was very much like, all right, we're doing this. We're going here. I'm like, I want to get in there and kind of founder for a while and find my own way. You know, things I thought that were new, that were different, right? Like, first off, big deal, you can name your ship. All right. You can't just name it anything. You got to pick from a series of like, you know, kind of like in Diablo for your titles of like, you get A and B choices and put them together.
Yeah.
But you can name it Dawn of Justice, everybody.
Wow.
Come on. Batman v Superman. It's a good movie. So I did that right away. Then there's the upgrades of when you're in there, right? Of like, you can unlock with the stuff you're getting out of missions, the currency you're getting out of missions. You can unlock new stratagems and equip those then from an equip screen. You can unlock new ship modules, right, with your research points.
And real quick, what's a stratagem, Greg?
Stratagems are the things you equip to go into battle with that you can call from space. So it is, I want the Gatling gun. I want ammo restocks. I want a very specific weapon. These are things that'll crash down and work for you. And they escalate as you go or whatever and get crazier. But it's like,
A loot drop,
yeah. Or an equipment restock or an equipment drop or whatever for it.
The anti-material gun is one that I had called in.
Yeah.
And that did great. You usually want to save these for the larger enemies. And there were a lot of cool moments of being in the battlefield and telling Greg, all right, I'm dead, but I'm coming back soon. Mark that large ass armored bug that is insanely tough to take down. Mark it. So that when I'm coming in, I can hopefully land on it.
Crush it.
And do a lot of damage to it. And there's a lot of cool, it just felt alive. It felt like it never really felt scripted at any point. Oh, and no, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, yeah. Even when I was like trying to lone wolf it, when it was like, you guys, there was one part in front of the automatons where it was like, and they all, the automatons, again, for this third person perspective, because before it was more isometric up top. This one, like, you really see the detail in these things, and the automatons are fucking terrifying. They look like Terminators. They're coming at you. And there was one part where I was like, all right, this is clearly gone FUBAR, and I see the extraction point, like, way over there. So I tried to get away and just ran into another wave of automatons. Like, I'm fucking dead. You know, I missed the end of that. And, like, that's the fun of it, right? One thing about the ship I want to talk about, when you're unlocking new ship, it's modular. So you, like, I didn't get to see this because so much was done, but like you can apply it to like new services on the ship, and then they would like your ship kind of expands. They put up caution tape, and then they do that or whatever as you go out there.
Yeah.
The other thing that's new is war bonds. War bonds are basically battle passes. They come with a free one. There is a premium one to spend money on. You're unlocking cooler weapons, you know, that have like buffs on them. There's also just cosmetics and outfits like that and stuff like that. Cool to have the free version. The paid one didn't seem outrageous. None of the prices were set in this preview, so I can't speak to that, but I'm excited to have that. They also had orders. This is going to be when you go into a mission. Arrowhead says that every day they're going to have one of their developers go in there and put orders out there, and it'll be stuff of like, you know, giving community missions that are like extract three times or do this whole thing. So there's dailies to go in there and get, which I appreciate.
Along with the statuses?
Yes, right. That was another thing. So again, to the conversation of I'm running the same things over and over again, right? Doing on different difficulties, hopefully getting better resources to make your ship better, to do your thing better, to make the harder missions easier, right? That's the whole point of this. The other thing you're talking about, is effects. So when you drop back on things or doing things where it's like, okay, well, there's rainstorms, so there's going to be rain, decreased visibility. There was one we did where it was heavy fog.
Crazy fog.
Like you couldn't see 3 feet in front of your face. Like, and it was like there was a bug thing that we saw. Like we're there. We're trying to do the mission, but if we could find the thing and take that out, then it would clear the fog and we'd see the monsters. And it was like,
it was terrifying.
Terrifying. Yeah, you're just running like, ah! Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, I felt like that mission, which I think we had on difficulty 6, whatever these numbers mean. I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
We had it on difficulty 6 for that mission. Super difficult. We struggled quite a bit because of the visibility issue. And then when we did difficulty 10, I don't know what it was, felt like almost as difficult because we weren't dealing with fog on the higher difficulty. It's interesting how those little things can really drastically change the experience.
So yeah, the long story short is, as a Helldivers fan, I'm excited for this. It is still Helldivers, which makes me then as a commentator interested to see how this will succeed. Is it going, because it is going to be like, it is, as somebody said, it looks like it'll be a fun stream game for us for sure and for anybody else. But I do think they'll hit, there's that moment of like, you have to hit your head against the wall for a while to get through the mission and get other friends and get the better gun to get the better thing to be able to take out the bug. And I'm wondering how that'll play with the general public. But
yeah, I'm super stoked for that. I love bashing my head against a wall to try to figure out the way, whether it's, do I grind a bit at a lower level or do I just try to brute force this? And because I'm stubborn as hell, I'm super stoked for those tougher missions. And just having that, what I'm not super stoked about is getting killed by you and Nick and my.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like you said, you're excited for this game. You're excited to play this with, take Greg out of it, even just Nick and Mike.
I might be sick that day, Barrett. Actually,
yeah.
The sniffles going on.
I'm going to leave the house and be like, oh, Andy, all four of your tires got slashed. You can't get to work.
And he has cat dander in his nose.
Oh no!
One thing I did notice though, you know, when you call in these stratagems and. Whether it's a grenade launcher, which felt awesome to use because I hate when grenade launchers bounce and you have to worry, take that into account. It felt great to use against the big, heavy enemies. And just seeing like the yellow blood guts explosion of these bugs.
And you're covered in it.
Super awesome. But when we were calling in these drops for the turret guns, oh, this is going to help us out when we're here on our last stand, when the ship is coming by to pick us up. Here's what we're making our last stand. Put the turret down. And then eventually enemies start popping up everywhere and the turrets will kill you if you're in the way. And then I was like, there's a rock up there. Let me throw the turret on top of the rock. Finding elevation for these turrets, it's just so cool. It felt really dynamic
and that's the thing,
again, alive. I liked it.
There's so much strategy to Helldivers.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things we were talking with the dev there at the end from Arrowhead where it was like, oh yeah, you know, on harder difficulty, this thing shows up, so you need armor-piercing bullets. So it's like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you have to coordinate what you're doing with your friends rather than just everybody run out there with energy weapons against things that won't take energy weapons. But we'll find out next week, ladies and gentlemen, if Helldivers 2 is coming together.
But again, like, you know, this is like their games as a service. push, yeah. right? This is this is the first kind of glimpse of, aside from Bungie and aside from Destiny 2, like this being their exclusive PlayStation Games as a Service game, being an interesting test to see exactly how
long this
lasts.
What's the support
look
like? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How often are we updating it? What are we getting to people? You know, they talked about, I think I'm getting confused with another battle pass, so I will be quiet.
Okay. Such a damn mouth.
Number three on the Rope Report, Jim Carrey is returning for Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Woo! This is Lang at Variety.
Smoking. That was from The Mask.
Yeah, it was. We haven't seen the last of Dr. Robotnik.
Why did you say it like the mom from American Pie?
Hey.
Jennifer Coolidge. Jim Carrey will reprise his role as the mad scientist with the formidable facial hair in Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Carrey's return was teased on social media with the Sonic filmmakers releasing a teaser that included Dr. Robotnik's distinctive cackle. Of course, Jim Carrey had said he returned. Oh, here we go. That was a cackle.
What would you
guttural laugh at best?
Oh, really?
Chuckle. It was a chuckle.
How would it sound if it was a cackle? that's a cackle?
Yeah, when a witch cackles. A cackle. Yeah.
All right.
Barrett, take a letter to Variety.
Yeah.
I will.
Everything I just said, send to them.
I never saw part two.
Do you want me to get the lawyers on it as well?
No, we don't need the lawyers for this one.
Okay. I never saw part two.
Me neither. Maybe I think Sonic was in it. James Marsden was there.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, Sonic, you want a chili dog?
Idris Elba showed up, yeah.
Well, he's getting ready.
Do you
for
want a bloody
series.
Chili dog?
Yeah,
that's what he said.
Yeah. If you're one of these Sonic freaks, congratulations.
Yeah.
And congratulations to Jim. Oh, fuck. Here he comes. Oh, really? Are you not here? I just made a bunch of jokes at Sonic's expense, and I said, if you're a Sonic freak, and then you walked in. So I assume Roger Perconi was about to come see him. Number four on the Roper Report, Nintendo hacker Gary Bowser says sentence is a warning to others. This is Jordan Midler at IGN. Jailed Nintendo hacker Gary Bowser.
No way.
Doug Bowser's brother, like evil Doug Bowser. Has said he believes his sentence was meant to send a message to other potential hackers. Bowser was released from prison last year after being sentenced for his part as a member of the hacking group Team Executor.
That's so sick. This guy's badass.
It's capital X E C U T E R.
It looks like X-Blades, like Team X-Blades kind of.
Which in 2013 began creating and selling circumvention devices, enabling users to play illegal ROMs on consoles, including Switch and 3DS. Now, speaking to The Guardian, Bowser has said he believes his sentence is a message to others in the scene. Quote, the sentence was like a message to other people that are still out there that they got caught, .. Oh, if they get caught, .. they'll serve hard time, end quote. Bowser was arrested in September 2020 and appeared in court the following year charged with 11 felony counts.
Kidnapping a princess.
Instead of facing trial, he pled guilty to two counts and offered to pay Nintendo $4.5 million. Bowser is required to send Nintendo a portion of any money he earns after necessities have been paid. Quote, I'll pay them what I can, which won't be very much money, that's for sure.
What is this, the interview?
He's cutting it in his teenage bedroom, Bowser told The Guardian. In a separate civil case ruling, Bowser was ordered to pay Nintendo an additional $10 million fine for his part in selling console mods. According to the U.S. government, Team Executor's criminal enterprise generated tens of millions of dollars in sales and it resulted in up to $150 million in losses to victims.
They'll have to get to the Koopalings first to get the meat.
If they want my money, they'll solve this riddle and go do this thing. Well, I guess that sounds like a message, yeah.
What do you got to do to join Team Executor?
Oh, you couldn't do that. No, Team Execute. You couldn't do that. You don't want to join them. They're bad seeds. You're a good seed. You're a good apple.
Yeah, but like, what do they need graphic design work?
That's true.
You know? You should put up a tweet like, listen, I'm not supporting bad guys, but I just thought this name was cool and I made some graphics.
The services are available.
You know, here are some free ones.
It's watermarked to this
one. Give me 15 bitcoins if you like it, all right?
Yeah, do you think this is all the stuff that he has to go through now is like, I don't know, representative of like what he actually did? I think it's overkill a little bit, right?
I won't lie to you. I feel like this is the first time I've ever heard of Gary Bowser in this case.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Are you familiar with this case?
Yeah. Yeah, we've heard this before. Yeah, it was like very shocking.
Well, I'm sure we've read it, but I just don't remember it.
Yeah.
The fact that you're getting into like they're selling devices and doing all this stuff. I thought when it started off that it was the hacker message, I was like, oh, he went in the back and leaked something or did something. Like, oh, he's actually selling product, I guess. Yeah. And according to them, you know, tens of millions of dollars in sales. Like, then, yeah, sounds about right, actually. And I doubt Gary. I mean, how old is Gary Bowser? Because again,
he sounds like a veteran of the industry. Like, he sounds like he's been at this for quite
also,
some time.
Also, shout out, like, you know, a lot of people don't go and interview the criminal after the fact. Guardian's like, let's give this guy a microphone.
I'll pay them what I can, which won't be very much money, that's for sure. What a weird response.
Is this on Gary Bowser's podcast?
People are saying he's old, like old. Do you think that's maybe why he offered to pay $4.5
million? Well, again, like to this the end, you know, the criminal enterprise generated tens of millions of dollars. Did you take all that money away? Do they still have the money?
Yeah.
That is a decent chunk of dollars.
I'm going to pay whatever I got. That's not much for sure.
Not much, though.
Andy, I'm sick of all this big news like Gary Bowser. If I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I go?
You'd go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the small news items you need to know about.
All right, number five, ladies and gentlemen, Wii News. Devolver Digital has announced that its CEO, Douglas Morin, has stepped down. Persona 3 Reload, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, and Vampire the Masquerade Justice are all out today. Grounded 2, Making the Last of Us Part 2, is also out today.
Ooh. I'll also add that Persona 3 Reload on Game Pass for Xbox players.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And then Catherine O'Hara has joined the cast of The Last of Us for Season 2. Kevin!
Oh, cool.
Ellie!
Who's she going to be?
Oh, we don't know.
Oh.
Or actually, we do. It was a character name that nobody recognize if I remember correctly.
Maybe brand new for the...
Yeah, they have to make new people, you know? Let's dance for a second.
And get some blood flowing a little bit.
Maybe Abby's mom.
All right, we turn our attention to Super Chats, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Stevenson says, Greg, as a fellow father to a toddler, I have to say wackadoo, and I love the Bluey. I love Bluey and the shirt. Thank you. Roosevelt's still rocking it over here.
I'm always a fan of the, you know, the button down where you cannot tell what it is unless you get real up close.
Oh, you know what I mean? Sure.
Okay. It was far away. I didn't know what it was when I was kind of like.
Can you see Bluey? Can you see?
Yeah,
Bluey?
I love it.
Do you see Snickers?
It's adorable.
Do you see Snickers in there?
Who's that?
The wiener dog.
Which one? Is, I mean, they all. Oh, I see him with a little hat. He's got a little hat on.
He's got a little hat on. And then Oakley Workman gave us a super chat and said, why do you think games resonate so much with you as an art form if you had to psychoanalyze yourself? I'm getting daily treatment for some health problems. I listen to you guys to relax. Thank you. Well, Oakley, thank you for consuming us and hang in there. Feel better. Get that done. Andy, why do games resonate with you?
You have agency in the story that you're experiencing. Right? You know, yeah. I love that, you know, you could watch a movie and people might have like two or three or four different interpretations of what's going on. But but you can have so many different experiences in a video game based on the order you do it on, the difficulty, you know, what class
choices
you
make. Yeah. Classes, stuff like that. Yeah, I'm right there with you. That's why I love to experience the narrative rather than be a passive observer.
Yeah.
That's
and I love hopping into a Valorant match expecting to play against bronze players, and there's sometimes fucking gold players in my lobbies. What the fuck are you doing here? Get out!
Let me work on your PC. I'll make sure that never happens again.
Just gonna throw a lighter in there.
Just be with a hammer. We also have a segment we call You're Wrong, where folks write into kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screwed up as we screw it up. So we set the record straight. I don't want to talk about what we're seeing.
Nah.
Indie Indian says the Bizarro gun in Suicide Squad had backward active reload as a reference.
Backward active reload.
So rather than it go this way, it goes that way.
Uh-huh.
Come on. Can we do something
that's
cool?
Bizarro.
Can we do something cool?
That is so bizarro.
Oh,
so
wow. Bizarre. They did this thing. Great. Thank you, though, for correcting me that I had nothing that I stood out to. Well, I guess it doesn't matter.
You're an idiot for that.
And then
one.
Missing Link 000 says Gary Bowser is in his 50s. Why isn't that ambiguous? You know? I digress.
I digress, Greg.
This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and podcast services around the globe. If you like what we do, please support us with the Kind of Funny membership. Of course, you get every episode of this show ad-free. You'd get all the other shows ad-free. You'd get the ability to watch the podcast live as we record them. And of course, you'd get my daily vlog, Gregway. Of course, if you have no bucks, please like, subscribe, share. Have a great weekend. And until next time, know it's been our pleasure to serve you.